So what's up, dads? I know you might feel like, man, I'm not the homeschooling person. It's my wife. You know, she's the one that does the teaching and things like that. But I found using BJU Press homeschool curriculum, man, it really helped me out with my son, Sam Witt. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We go through these videos. Shout out to Mrs. Walker.
Mrs. Walker.
Shout out to Mrs. Walker. And, you know, it gives me the confidence to know that I can do it as well, that I can sit down with my son and we can go through these lessons and I can help him to see, you know, and understand what's going on. And so, man, it's a good way for us to connect as well. And it's not always our wives that have to do it. So I just want to give you that encouragement that you can do it too.
Check out BJUPressHomeschool.com today. BJUPressHomeschool.com, the premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast.
It was, you know, working at Disney, obviously, you know, when I realized that the Lion King came out, I would go out there and promoting the film for Disney. And then I would notice every kid would know the song, Hakuna Matata. And then so they did a study that less than 2 years of release of Lion King, every kid know the Lion King. I said, why doesn't every kid know the King of Kings?
Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are talking with Davey Liu, whose testimony is from the Lion King to the King of Kings.
I like that.
Oh my goodness. So we talk so much about what's going on in culture, and you know, certainly we are not strangers to what's happening with Disney and how, you know, the company that so many parents have trusted for so many years, even generations, really has moved away, right? And they are in a massive sort of recovery mode, trying to gain back the confidence and the trust of parents. Unless things change dramatically, I don't see that trust returning, because I think there's just been so much injury. Well, in the midst of all of that going on, it is so important for us to make much of those who have gained our trust, because they are walking in the Spirit. They are loving the Lord with all of the gifts that He's entrusted to them. And anyway, one of those people is Davey Liu, and we are live at the Texas Homeschool Coalition Convention, and we met him. His booth is actually right across from our booth where we are recording. And someone said, have you not talked to Davey? And I'm like, who's Davey? And she goes, oh, come here. And so then this conversation ensues, where I learn that you once worked for Disney.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you have a fingerprint on several animated features that we would be familiar with.
Yeah. So I worked on Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, and Mulan, and some other Disney, Atlantis, probably not as well known as some of these four major classics.
So take us back then, because what I also learned in the course of talking to you was that not only did you work for Disney, you started out really early on, you were young, but you have an incredible kind of backstory.
Yeah, so very fortunate, very blessed. My dad was a Christian, and he came to Taiwan. He fought the communists in 1950, and then during that time, he had a TB. And the doctor says, you are in stage 5. You only have 4 months to live. And the missionary from America gave him a Gideon Bible. It was Chinese and English. So he said, before I die, I'm going to learn some English. And before you know it, he stumbled to the story of Jesus in the book of John, and then he became born again. And he just kept learning the Bible in English, and somehow God healed his TB, and it's amazing. God changed the trajectories, and now about 2 months ago, he just celebrated his 98th birthday.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Davey, I love what you said there. That was just a nugget, and I want you to kind of unpack that. God changes trajectories.
Yes.
So because your father came to faith in the Lord Jesus, that impacted your life.
Yeah.
But your life didn't start out as what we might consider an ordinary pregnancy, where you carry a baby to term and deliver.
Yeah.
The Lord worked a miracle.
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of seven, and my mom always, you know, I have five older sisters, and my mom always wanted to have a boy. So when they came to me on the 9 months, and the last month, for some reason, they couldn't find my heartbeat for 10 days. And after 10 days, the doctor says that your baby certainly is dead. So they were going to C-section me out. And my dad, because he experienced something that God can do the impossible, he waited. He says, let God change his mind. For some reason, my heartbeat came back. But the doctor says, listen, Mr. Liu, your son is going to be born with autism or some kind of mental dysfunction, because I've injected all these drugs into this dead baby, want to flush him out, but he won't come out. So you sure you want to keep him? And my dad decided to keep this little boy. And I grew up in Taiwan, where all my siblings and all my world, everybody makes straight A's. And my mom, you know, the tiger mom she is, she want me to have a good school degree and then hopefully grow up to be a doctor, an engineer, just like all them Chinese kids. But I was far from it. I was more like Forrest Gump. And so in Taiwan, I knew everybody told me I can't do it. But my father always believed in this verse, says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened me.
Wow. Amen. And so as a result of that, you're growing up with this faith that your father has in the Lord.
Yep.
But that gets projected onto you. So when do you learn that you have this gift of animation or art?
So my mom wanted me to come to America. She's afraid that I will flunk everything. And I was literally flunking everything. I have a learning disability. I can't read. So I came to America in 1982 in Orlando. And I went to a school that was all black children. And I never seen a black kid before. I thought,
wow.
Mom, I thought we're going to America, and I feel like I was in Africa. And these black kids have never seen a Chinese kid before. So I didn't understand a word of English, so my mom already said, say yes to everything American people ask you. So these kids were asking me, you know, they think every Chinese kid are all related to Bruce Lee. So they asked me, do you know Bruce Lee? I say yes. They asked me, do you know Kung Fu? I say yes. What color is your belt? I look down. Every Chinese kid in Taiwan only wear black leather synthetic belt. So I say, I have black belt, you know. Then they ask me, how many degrees your black belt? I count how many holes on my belt. I said, I have 8-degree black belt. So that was what stupid does. So that I instantly became a Bruce Lee nickname. So.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Okay, so David, tell me how that starts to shape you, because I can, even as I was talking to you earlier, you know, there's just a, I don't know, you're at home with people, you know, there's just a rapport that you have with people. I would imagine that you have the experience of immigrating to a new country and then being introduced to not only American culture, but black American culture. So how does that kind of shape your experience?
I tell you, I thought every American do break dance, and I thought every kid, you know, would have an afro. And I started to grow afro. I learned beatbox. That was my first English language, is beatbox.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man, I do the best Chinese beatbox there is. Boy, those. And so I want to fit in. I just want to fit in. But during that time, my first year in America, you have art class. In Taiwan, we don't have art class. So I actually were in the art class when art teacher gave me a piece of paper. And she told me, Davey, you can do it. So I love drawings. In Taiwan, drawing is forbidden. So I would draw in America. And then it's one of these Chinese drawings of the tiger, of a dragon. And I gave it to my art teacher. And my art teacher thought it's fantastic. She submitted it into a national competition. And I won the top 20 in the whole United States in 1982, my first year in America.
So then you progress from there. And at this time, by the way, so I know that, you know, we grow up in a Christian home, but it's not automatic that we will be followers of Christ.
Right.
When did you come to personally know Jesus?
Well, ever since when my dad told me you can do all things through Christ, I really thought God forgot about me. Now, I knew now I have a gift to draw straight lines that I make straight A's. It was around 17 years old. I grew up in Florida. I went to Cocoa Beach. I went to surf. It was that incident that I got caught in the water undertowed. In that ocean, 45 minutes, I just about to give up. I knew I was going to die. I make my peace with God. I said, God, I knew I'd never invited you to my personal Lord and Savior. Here I am. I know I'm going to face you. I need to get it right. And even though I go to church, but it didn't mean nothing to me. Until that day, when I make that prayer, I have experienced something miraculously, is that God saved me from that drowning incident. And I came home that day. I was expected to be dead, but I came home. I'd experienced something extraordinary, that I knew that God saved me from that drowning incident. Ever since I was 17 years old, I was going to art school in Atlanta. Then I took God very, very seriously. And I noticed that if you take God very seriously, God take you very seriously.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And even would show us the plans that he has for our life. There's a reason that he spared your life, that he brought you back to life when you were pronounced dead by the doctors.
Right.
And they even began the process of, like, removing you from the womb. And the Lord said, no. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And then you come to know him, and he starts to unfold this plan that he has for you. So kind of take us on the journey from this point to making your way to Disney.
Yeah, so in third year of college, I knew I wanted to be an artist, even though everybody told me the only career artist has is called starving artist. But I knew that this gift that I have to draw straight lines, it came from heaven. Mm. So I knew I loved Jesus. I want to be that boy, that five bread and two fish. Lord, what would you do with the talent you've given me? I want to use my gift to serve you. When Disney came to our school after Little Mermaid in 1988, they were recruiting eight talented boys and girls from our school. Eight. I said, what's the chances of me getting in? I failed three times. On my fourth year of college, I finally got selected as one of the Disney animator in 1989. And then so in 1990, I went to Disney. I started working on Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King. And it just, I became, you know, I found my dream calling, and I just do something that I love and I get paid for it.
Wow. Oh, wow. My goodness. And also to have the distinction of working for a company like Disney. I mean, you know, the reality is I think there are a lot of people who would like to say, you know, well, I never did this and I didn't trust them. But here's the reality. Millions of families in this country trusted Disney.
Yeah.
And if you were to say you worked for Disney, you know, or you're working for Disney, that carried a lot of prestige. Yeah. And that carried a lot of opportunity. How do you get to the point where back then, you know, looking at the opportunities that you have to animate, and as you did with Mulan, you were showing me and showing our kids how you drew yourself into the story of Mulan. Yeah. That's a fun fact for some of our listeners. Yeah. Let me pause for a second. Talk a little bit about that, how you were able to draw yourself in, and then I'll pick up on the other side. Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at the Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. This yes. is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. July 21st through the 26th, you have the opportunity to join us and our entire family mm-hmm. for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now.
So doing that Mulan project, and I happen to be Chinese, and I'm from northern China, and General Shen has to be in northern China. He's from China, and he has a black belt A degree, so I have a black belt A degree. So, you know, it's every Disney animator's dream is always put something personal signature in it. Mine just happened to be more obvious. So because Mulan has this general, it's called General Shen, so I kind of self-serve and drew myself as this animated characters. And I love the fact that Disney think every Chinese guy looked the same, so I got away with it.
Okay. I thought that was so fascinating. I really wanted to make sure to include it as we talked. But so how does the divide start to grow? I mean, you're animating, you're doing feature films that people know, right? And yeah. I mean, my goodness, I feel like the films that you listed are almost like synonymous with Disney excellence. Like yeah. these are the kinds of films that, yeah. you know, in my early teens I grew up on. Yeah. Why did you feel the need to separate from what Disney was doing?
And was it a gradual separation? Or did
it was.
Things, okay.
It was. You know, working at Disney, obviously, you know, when I realized that when Lion King came out, I would go out there and promoting the film for Disney. And then I would notice every kid would know the song, Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
And then so they did a study that less than 2 years of release of Lion King, every kid know the Lion King. I said, why doesn't every kid know the King of Kings?
Wow.
Oh, when I go to church, no wonder. Every creative animated films or anything that is Bible story related, all the art that I saw was so, so low in presentation and the quality. It is so poor. And when I saw it, it's like, oh my goodness, no wonder Disney is the largest children's ministry. And I say, why isn't Jesus have the largest children's ministry? And when I saw the scripture, Jesus says, let the children come, do not hinder them, because in the kingdom belong to such as these. Mm. And I said, if Disney's visual and spending millions and making this beautiful quality animated films, and I recall The Lion King, when we make The Lion King, it's actually story of Moses, where Moses was born in the kingdom, and then he forgot who he was, and he saw God in a burning bush, and then he went back to proclaim his kingdom. I saw the metaphor of how Disney tells stories from animals' point of view, and I had this inspiration, so I created the story of animal perspective of Noah's Ark of this main character, Kendu the Fox. The story is called The Giant Leaf, and I originally created and I pitched it to Disney, but Disney loved the fact that animal perspective of Noah's Ark, well, can you put two Mr. Turtle and two Miss Dove? I said, no, can do. The Bible says one male and one female. That's when I start beginning to see that moral struggle. I recognized that Disney was going to the different trajectories of what a traditional family was. So I was extremely challenged. In 1998, I saw the forecast of all the animated films. A lot of them has a lot to do with Twisted Agenda. Mm-hmm. And I was just living frightened. And then my father always said, Davey, you have a miracle life. You're not supposed to be here. Even though God gave you a gift to draw straight lines, you need to remember you're not here to live like an ordinary child. Mm. So as a filmmaker in Disney or in any film studio, and every film studio stream, even though I was a believer, I want to win an Oscar. I said, Lord, before I die, I want to win an Oscar for you. One day I had a dream. I went to heaven and I drove and I brought a whole load truck of Oscar. And God says, why'd you bring a whole load truck of garbage? I'd rather you bring one child to heaven than a billions of Oscar.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So is that sort of like the genesis of this ministry?
Yes.
That God has entrusted to
yes,
you?
Yes. I did not want to store my treasure here. I want to store treasure in heaven. So in 2000, after I worked on Star Wars Episode 1, I left Hollywood and I began to start working on this story that I built it in Disney. It's called The Giant Leaf. And I started to hire a writer and script writer, and because I don't write in English that well, I started having a team to build the story up to make it a beautiful, epic script, and then after that, turn it into a novel. And then now I have this beautiful picture book called The Giant Leaf that is 64 pages to show the investor. So originally, I want to create this beautiful book to show the investor what the Bible can be. And so currently, after the last two decades, I've created a whole slate of story of the Bible. Fish perspective of Moses' part in the Red Sea. Lion perspective, why didn't it eat the prophet Daniel? Or the donkey that nobody wants to ride except two little pigs. Her name is Gentile. So Gentile was this little donkey's friend.
Wow.
And story of Jesus from Gentile's perspective. So I have a whole slate of animated film coming out in the next 12 years to provide an option and the beautiful, wholesome, biblical stories.
Yes.
From animal perspective, from Genesis to Book of Revelations. Because I believe, I remember Disney says, if you get the kids before they turn 10, they'll remember the song, they'll remember these stories, and they'll tell their kids and their kids of their kids.
Oh, wow. My wow. Goodness. Oh, Davey. Okay, wow. So the thing that so grips me about what you just said is that when you connect that back to how you describe Disney as the largest children's ministry, and then you say their philosophy, their conviction, their belief is that if you can get the kid before 10,
that's right,
then you've got transgenerational followers
yep.
who will continue on this ministry.
Yep.
And that's what we have seen. I mean, you think about it, you know, we have an experience. Disney creates experiences
yeah.
where you feel that you are connected with yep. the story, all yep. of the music, all of the animation.
Right.
And then you will do whatever it takes to bring your kid to be a part of that and to recreate that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, Disney didn't originate that.
No.
You know, the storyteller, who is Christ,
yep.
created stories
yep.
and connected people to stories,
yep.
but then he would circle them back to eternity.
Amen.
Like, what
yep.
does this mean
yep.
for eternity?
Yep.
How are you doing that through the ministry that the Lord's entrusted to you?
Just like you said, Jesus preached in 57 parables, and they were all allegory of the heaven. The kingdom are hidden in these parables. And the disciple thought they were silly stories. Well, it's the same thing. What I am doing is I'm taking the Bible, break it down to such a simple that even a children can understand, animal perspective of Noah's Ark, and using the language, the fish perspective of Moses' part in the Red Sea. That one, this theme's on prayer. The fish called God my fin maker. So the language, the vocabulary, so that when they're in trouble, they are calling to the filmmaker for help.
Oh.
So this is about three-letter perch, went to the big Red Sea and introduced all the Red Sea fish are all atheists. And one day when the great white was chasing all of them in the Red Sea, three-letter perch, the main one, sees them, inspired by Moses backwards. Sees them, says, "Dear filmmaker, would you please provide your miracle, put good fish on one side and bad fish on the other." Instantly, the water parted in two, good fish on one side and bad fish on the other.
Oh.
So as you can see, the language, the way we present it, they're very organic. They didn't have this typical church Christianese lingo. So because I recognize if Disney can take their gospel to all nations, so much more in the truth and the good news of Jesus Christ. I thought about all those kids and family that watching Disney in Muslim country in China. Mm-hmm. I thought about how can we bring the Bible to these countries that need Jesus. So I now have currently 6 of these beautiful picture books. They were published in China 12 years ago. And 7 years ago, our book won in the Communist China the best children's moral book awards.
Wow.
And I got invited in the headquarters of Billy Graham's library to speak about how I did it. Well, first, you got to be Chinese to be in Chinese country.
Yes.
Second of all, your product. Every book that I create, I want to be beautiful, better than what the Lion King is, because our God is beautiful. He is the King of all kings.
Oh, amen. And let me just say, glory to God. Davey, you've done it. I mean, you've created beautiful art. You've created a beautiful storyline, multiple storylines, and connected both of those for the glory of God. I am, I'm strongly convinced that when we say that we are to do everything for the glory of God, I don't know that many people understand what that means. But it means that God goes public through us.
Yeah.
The weightiness and the
That's
heaviness
right.
of who he is yeah. shines yep. through us as we operate.
Yes.
And as I'm looking at your books here, and by the way, we did purchase a set for our family. Incredible. And Davey, you were so kind. I just want to say that for Culture Proof listeners, Davey has also given us a copy to give away.
Yes.
So we've got a copy of The Giant Leap that we're going to give away to one of our email subscribers. So if you go to cultureproof.net, sign up, join our email list. We are going to get a copy of this book to one of our email subscribers.
Awesome.
And then we'll send it out to you in the mail. I mean, this is incredible. Davey, and it's autographed. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
I almost forgot.
Can't beat that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, so it is autographed. And so you will have, because of your encouragement and support, you will have an autographed, one-of-a-kind copy of The Giant Leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Davey, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. You can do it.
You can do it.
Yes.
Okay, so before we let you go, what is coming up? What can we expect?
So we just got recently funded, partially funded by the In-N-Out Burger, and we are going to be creating a whole slate of 12 animated films in every summer, 12 years. We want, whenever Disney coming out with theirs, we're going to beat them to the poll 1 week every film so that Jesus gets the first introductions. We
okay.
can do it.
We can do it. Oh,
awesome.
I love it. Okay, and let our listeners know your website information. How can they connect with you and learn more?
Sure. If you have a VBS or a children's program in your church, our ministry is called Can Do Kids. So it's K-E-N-D-U, Can Do, that's the Fox name, kids, KIDS.org, CanDoKids.org. You can reach out to us there, or you can purchase the books and support our ministry. And if you want to be on mailing list, we're going to do a casting call. If your kids want to do voices, we want 500 kids to do the animal voices when the animal went inside the ark. And we're going to use your children's voice to create an epic orchestra score of this song that animal eaters became an animal eaters, an animal savior. So, yeah. And then your kid's name will be on the film.
Yeah. Davey, this is great.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about this. Glory to God. I think this is what we've been waiting for as parents. You know, we've got 6 kids. You were so kind. You were playing with our little 3-year-old Timmy, and I kept swatting him away. And you said, please don't.
Yeah.
He said, I love to watch them play.
Yeah.
Like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It comes from a genuine place, what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for interviewing me. And I hope that we will win this war for Christ. We
Amen.
Can do it.
Amen. We can do it. When you resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, you remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.